Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. David DeJesus, David Kaplan, and Luke Stuckmeyer here. So the Cubs and A's are done, and we've got another new addition to the team. Now, I kind of thought, hey, there's going to be no more additions to the team. That's supposed to be the deal. But with the Contreras going down on the disabled list and the Cubs sort of looking for a little backup catcher help, they were able to find Jonathan Lucroy as a free agent. He had signed with the Angels over the winter for a one-year, $3.35 million deal. They don't have to pay that now because he's gone through. Now, he hit 242. He's not the hitter that he used to be. But this is a nice backup plan. This worked out about as well as it could, correct?
Well, I mean, you get really lucky. You trade Martin Maldonado and you end up with Lucroy as a backup.
Yeah.
You're going to hopefully get Contreras back. So, you know, there's a number of things that have worked out in their favor here. Caratini doesn't break his arm on a play at the plate where he was down and looked like he had a broken wrist or a broken arm. That worked out. And then you're able to get Lucroy. I think they're in pretty good shape.
He's a guy that doesn't strike out a lot. He's not going to hit like he did in 2014 when he was in the MVP race.
Yeah.
But he's a veteran, and he's been to the postseason multiple times.
And he wants to get back. He's going to be hungry to come back and play for a winning team. Maybe it's one of those situations where going to a new team will re-energize him, just like we see with Castellanos. This guy has stepped up big time. He's a veteran, knows how to catch young pitchers. They have a solid starting five right now, so he's a guy that's going to slide in and just be a mentor to Caratini and to the pitchers as well.
So they get this veteran presence. They're really fortunate with the injury to Contreras. And now we don't know how long that's going to be. It looks like a month, right?
What they're saying.
And so that's a long time. So you've got to really fill some gaps. The addition of Castellanos before the end of the trade deadline. So far, on the field, that couldn't have worked out better. What do you like about him?
I like the enthusiasm he plays with. It's 11-0 on Tuesday night. And you can't wait for the game to get over. It's one of those, you throw him in the garbage. He hits a ball in the gap and ends up legging out a double. Just beats the throw because he's busting it out of the box. I thought it was awesome to watch that guy. And Joe Maddon said, that guy's hungry. That's a great message to our room. That's what hungry looks like.
I heard him say on the radio, I think to Waddle and Sylvie, they were asking him about leadership. Cubs have been looking for guys to be leaders. And he said, well, if you have to say you're a leader, you're not a leader. That's the type of stuff that is leadership, though, right?
Yes. Playing the game the
impactful.
Right way.
Exactly. Being a professional about each and every at-bat. You see a plan of attack. Him trying to stay inside of baseballs and shoot it the other way. When you come in, he'll drop the head on the baseball and then pull it. But this guy, his work ethic is right there with a lot of the Cubs players, and he's just a perfect fit because that two slot is a perfect spot for him, getting him on base in front of the big guys beneath him, and then Hayward in front of him be able to go first and third. That's a great spot to have a two-hitter like Nick Castellanos.
Cap, we talked about it right after the deadline when they picked him up, they need a guy that can hit left-handers too. And he does that. So do you think it's going to be Hayward, Castellanos, Bryant, and on down the rest of the way? Do you think this will last the rest of the season?
I do. I just don't see Ben Zobrist is going to get slotted back in there right away. I don't see that. Yeah, I think it's going to be Hayward, Castellanos, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and then figure it out from there.
I don't want to look too much forward into the future because we've got a lot to worry about with this season. Castellanos, is that a guy you would try and bring back?
I would. I would absolutely bring Castellanos back because of how he plays. I think he's a professional at bat every single time. He's not a great defender. I get it. Neither is Kyle Schwarber. So, yeah, for me, I would bring Castellanos back.
So we're taping this podcast during the seventh inning of Wednesday's game while we're watching the game. And right now we're at the point in the game where Javi just fouled one off his shin. It looks like it catches the shin guard.
Yeah.
How bad does that hurt?
That's one of those things that you have to immediately take the pressure off your leg because he hit it off his front foot. So all of his weight transfer is on his front foot. You get drilled, you automatically sling to the ground. And it's one of those that you have to give it time. You have to give it time to start getting some blood flowing through there. But, man, they leave welts. I still have welts from when I was playing on my shin from one of those. But I didn't wear a shin guard like Javi did.
His predecessor broke his leg twice.
Yeah.
Holly was out June 27th. I'm getting married. It's the Cubs-White Sox. And I remember a group of us are looking at the game. He fouls the ball off his shin. Done for the year. Wasn't wearing a shin pad and then comes back and does it again.
Didn't wear the shin pad?
I don't remember.
I remember him wearing it at the end of his career. Like, 03, I think he wore a shin pad.
And that's the beginning.
Well, this is 04.
No. Oh, so I thought he used one. Man, I don't know why anybody, personally, I don't know why anybody wouldn't wear it. Why didn't you wear one? I know you want to be faster, but let me tell you, if I was a professional baseball player and I was nowhere close to being one, I would have had the full cage Little League helmet on, you know, the whole face with the full-on hockey cage.
Okay.
I would have had the shin guards on. I'd have the elbow pads on.
So you look like Barry Bonds up there with
the only way I would have made it. I was terrified of being hit by a ball.
Can I ask you a question? Did you wear a cup when you played?
No.
How do you not wear a cup?
I don't understand.
I'm an outfielder. I know the bounce. It's not like it's bad bounces.
Now we're getting the
I'm catching it in the air. And I did not like the feeling of, when I was younger, sliding and stealing bases, that pound of the cup there. I wanted to be able to be free and just roll
on. Let me tell you another feeling you're not going to enjoy, David DeJesus. Yeah.
You think your shin hurts?
Exactly. Thankfully, he was able to stay
I don't know how we got off track here. I guess it was the Baez fouling the ball off. But while we're on this subject, that's another one I don't understand. Because in Little League, they wouldn't even let you play without a protective cup when I was a kid.
Yeah.
How many guys in the majors are wearing a cup now? I know that you don't have an exact
number. I know for a fact Rizzo does not because I asked him.
So I'd say probably 60 don't.
60%?
60% don't wear a cup.
Wow.
So I don't know how true that is.
Not even half are. Half the guys in the clubhouse.
I would say no.
That seems a little risky to me.
It's risky. I don't know how, like, the first baseman, how do you not have a cup there? Right? Well,
the catcher's wearing a cup.
Catcher better be wearing a cup.
They get a metal one. Iron Mike, they call it.
That iron.
Ding. So it's like a it's like a dog food bowl.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, now that we've gone through all the possible injuries and terrifying ways you can get injured as a baseball player, back to Castellanos. You would like him coming back next year?
100%.
What do you think, David? Would you be interested in bringing him back? He's not great defensively, but if he can have this impact offensively.
Offensively, it's huge. I don't know yet. I want to see how he finishes, but I like what I'm seeing right now. It just depends on the money, too. Is his agent going to bump up the prices? Because there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to wanting that type of at-bat, that type of player. So maybe the Cubs have the first dibs right now, but if I was him, I would sit back, relax, and hear the offers. I want to hear what's going on. Then they can start playing them off of each other.
one other thing the Cubs are dealing with. It's not just the injury to Contreras. It's the piling up injuries in the bullpen, the pitching staff. Kimbrel's now down with a knee. Strope is back, and Kinsler's down. That's two of your three best relievers and Morrow. So three of your four best relievers are injured, and the fourth of that four is just coming back. This is why they need the offense, because they've got to build bigger leads if guys are going to be that banged up. How concerned are you about the way the bullpen is at the moment?
More than a little.
Yeah.
You know, as we're taping this, it's 9-1 Cubs. What if I told you it was 2-1 Cubs? Who are you handing the ball to in the eighth? I mean, I like Rowan Wick, but let's remember he's Rowan Wick. He hasn't proven anything yet. So who are you handing the ball to?
Dwayne Underwood.
He's Dwayne Underwood.
What did you think?
How about Underwood?
He was awesome.
Last night, which was Tuesday.
We were watching, and it was like, that's one good thing to talk about.
Exactly. I mean, just the life of his fastball, the great changeup. And we talk about that it's big boy time. Well, now it's opportunities for these young guys to make statements and to really give themselves a face in the big leagues, make themselves a career. So you're seeing these young guys take advantage of opportunities, and that's all you ask for as a manager, as a coach. Hey, man, when these bells called for these guys to come in and pitch, they're doing a great job.
Well, they have tried to hand the ball to Underwood, Maples, several guys throughout the last couple of years trying to find that guy, at C.J. Edwards, obviously, for a while. But Maples and Underwood coming up from the minors quite a bit, it hasn't worked out. What makes you think that wasn't just a fluke and that he can do it again, Underwood? Because it hasn't worked. But you see these guys down at Triple A, and they have great numbers. They come up, they have great stuff, but it's just got to work. Is that going to be the light switch for Underwood, or is this just a good night?
Well, his numbers are good at Triple A as a reliever once he converted. And I was watching him last night. He's 95 with a really nice little riding action. And then his off-speed stuff, like his changeup, was down. I mean, heavy tilt. I'm like, wow. If he can get you to look up here at that fastball and then shoom, ball falls off a tape, I was really impressed.
Yeah, and Dylan Maples still hasn't shown me that he consistently can throw strikes in the big leagues.
He's got
stuff. He has everything that you want from a reliever. Hard fastball, slider, but can you command your pitches? I mean, if you're letting guys on base, guys can catch up to 99. If you're down 3-0 and you have to put a 3-0 pitch, guys can hit it out. So that's going to be the one thing with Dylan Maples. Can he throw strikes consistently? Then he'll be a big-time, big-league pitcher. But until then, he will be in Triple-A.
What do you make of the addition of Phelps so far?
He's a professional pitcher. Now, you got to remember, the Cubs hold an option on him for next year. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. If he gets his velocity all the way back, he's pitched on the biggest stage in New York in the Yankee Stadium. So I like him. I do. I would like to see how this plays out.
I would love to see Wick, Maples, Underwood, some of these young guys just have it click at the right time for the Cubs, and that helps just really strengthen and your whole bullpen, and the other guys come back.
It also lets you spend money in other areas.
Exactly.
That's
the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing.
And with these relievers banged up, the other thing the Cubs have to do right now is pitch well. Now, John Lester had a rough outing, but the effort you get out of Quintana is great. Seven innings.
Two hits.
Two hits, one run, seven strikeouts. We've had some other guys put up good outings. Do you believe that the starters will be good enough to get through this stretch where the relievers are banged up?
I do. I think this rotation is as good as there is in the National League. Hinge and Ryu is on the IL for the Dodgers. That's a blow to them. They'll get him back. But I think this is a really, really good rotation.
I still say DL all the way.
Right.
It's just like IL, DL, I still can't do it half the time.
But, these starters have been proven all season long that they're innings eaters. And I saw a stat today that the bullpen has pitched the third least amount of innings in the big leagues. So that means, we talk about it all the time, Cap. Why did he get taken out so early? We talk about Joe Maddon really taking
But when you really look at the numbers.
But it's not bad.
Right.
Right? It's not bad.
His starters are like fourth in number of innings thrown.
Yeah, so something's right. They're doing something right. So that's the starters going deep in a game. Each one of them wants to pitch seven. Then you go to your middle, your setup guy, and then your closer. That's what baseball was in the past. It's going to get back to that hopefully someday because there's too much pitchers pitching during a game.
Yeah.
That trend is going to stop.
Players?
No, that's another story. But just pitchers, middle relief guys, there's too many of those guys pitching in a game.
Well, it changes after this year when you got to face three hitters.
That's going to be good.
Right.
Specialists who can
major change to the game.
Yeah. Only get righties out. We got a couple lefties in there.
What would you do with Holland?
He wouldn't be on my team.
You wouldn't be on our team?
You can't.
I want to see
you can't
your
have
team.
A guy you bring in the game that unless there's three straight lefties, he can't pitch.
Yeah.
You have to bring him in when the last out you need is a lefty.
Bingo.
When you got two outs, it's a big situation. That's a really refined role to find.
So, all right, so you end an inning, you make the third out, lefty. All right, Holland, I got the lefty out.
Yeah.
Do I have to see two more batters?
Yes.
Wow.
No. You're talking about third?
So, third out of an inning.
That's a
Holland
great question.
Holland just got out that, hey, I want to bring – this is the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah.
Got the lefty out, Holland.
Can I go to my closer?
Yeah, can I go to Kenley or Jansen or whoever? Or does he have to face two?
Right.
And then that's going to be a weird situation there.
We're going to have to worry about that next year.
Yeah.
One more thing about this year's team. So we've talked about the injuries, the new additions. Now they got to prove they can win on the road. Mm. You know, the homestand thing is great. The home cooking is great at Wrigley Field. The fans get to see what they want. Cubs wins at Wrigley Field. They get to sing the song. Everybody has a good time. You go home. Now they have to show they can win on the road.
And I think they're going to have a really good road trip. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. It's a 10-game trip. I'll be very disappointed, very, if they're not at least 6-4.
I think they got to go 500. 500 is a quality road trip because you're going to face Bauer. You're going to face Alex Wood. You might face Castillo with the Reds. They match up well against the Cubs.
Yeah, you're getting Castillo against Lester on Sunday.
They do, but
that's advantage them.
You're trying to get to the postseason. You're trying to win the division. I was going to say 7-3.
Yeah, 6-4.
I know that would be optimistic.
Would you take 6-4 right now?
I would take 6-4 right now.
Would you take 500? I think I would right now. The way they've played up until this point,
I would not.
Because you're dominant at home. You're always gaining. Yes. Okay.
I'm better than those three teams. If I can't. 100%. Win 6-10, then we're whizzing in the wind here.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. But they haven't shown that they can win consistently on the road.
No.
Hopefully it starts now. Maybe Nick Castellanos is the big piece. But you're facing first game, you're facing Alex Wood, a lefty, and you're on the road. Those are two things that have been troublesome for the Cubs.
Well, I'll tell you what's troublesome. Whizzing in the wind without a protective cup on, Cap.
That's not good.
That's real. Now you want to talk dangerous.
That's a problem.
All right, we'll see what the Cubs can do on the road, and hopefully the good vibes continue. Thanks for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. Make sure you download and rate the app wherever you might get your podcasts at. You know, that could be Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts.
Stitcher,
Spotify. We're everywhere.
Luke will even come to your house and just talk sports with you.
If you want, I'll make a home visit and just do the podcast there.
Bingo.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Fly the W.